Hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, welcome to the latest episode. A bit later than anticipated. I know it's been a minute, apologies. But you know, life and all that. How are you doing, Lucy? It's been a while.
I'm exhausted.
You sound it.
I sound exhausted. I look exhausted. I am very tired. Kicking my ass, but can't complain. I'm alive, I'm healthy, doing what I gotta do.
Coming towards the end of the year, as we record this, obviously we're in December now, so approaching Christmas. But yeah, I think this is basically our wrap-up show, so our 2021 wrap-up show. So a lot is going to be covered, like in the next, I want to say hour, hopefully it's an hour. I don't want to be going too long over that, but we'll see. And I think there's only one place to really start, which is obviously Australia, because that is where, you know, the calendar kind of kicks off, you know, each year. So the Australian Open, that is where we had our first Grand Slam winners of the year. Let's start on the women's side. So obviously Naomi Osaka claiming her fourth Grand Slam of her career. Played some phenomenal tennis, like en route. But before we actually...
Oh my gosh, time is going so far. Do you know that feels like that was years ago?
I don't know. Like I actually feel like it was quite recent.
I feel like this was like 2 years ago.
Well, she did win it two years ago, didn't she? So
true. But it feels like this one feels like ages ago. Like it's so crazy how the time just went so fast. Yeah. Just that so many things happened this year is insane.
No, which we'll get into. But yeah, Osaka. So like I said, she won. That was her fourth Grand Slam. In the final, she beat Jen Brady, and that was a straight sets win. But in the semi, she beat Serena Williams, and that was in straight sets. Serena was very emotional after as well, having played, like, we'll talk a bit about...
Very tennis. Well.
Yeah, like, her tennis in Australia was incredible. Like, the best tennis, as far as I was concerned anyway, that was the best tennis I'd seen her play.
Definitely, yeah.
In 2021, which we'll come on to later on. But staying with Osaka, I thought the match of the tournament on her part was against Muguruza in the fourth round.
Yeah, that match, yeah.
Yeah, because that was a three-set match. She lost the first set, had to come back and win, you know, the second and third. But just the level, like, she kind of, like, yeah, just showed.
I thought, from both players, to be fair.
No, 100%. And, like, Muguruza, she had a pretty good year, like...
Yeah, her season was decent, fair.
But, yeah, just sticking with Osaka, obviously... She was coming off the back of the US Open win as well. So, like, just had that, like, silly, like, unbeaten record. And it was just so good to see. Like, obviously, everyone was raving on, like, just saying, yeah, like, this is, you know, she's the best in the world right now. Like, you know, she's playing the tennis to kind of prove that. And just kind of reminiscing and, like, kind of taking, I don't know, thinking back to that time. Like you said, feels like a long time ago. But, yeah, like... That was a very, very exciting time because it really reminded me or took me back to the US Open of 2020 and like just the excitement of that, like especially the latter stages of the US Open where obviously Osaka won. But yeah, like what do you remember of Australia and Osaka's victory, Lucy?
I think it was really good. I think she played really well in all her matches. Like you said, my favorite match with that one was definitely the Muguruza one. Obviously, the one with Serena can't be my favorite because I want both of them to win. So, yeah, but I'm just happy that she won. You know, like I just really miss her right now, to be honest, as well. So, yeah, it's nice to like think back of that moment because so much has happened that you even forget that she literally still won a slam this year.
Exactly.
Like something that a lot of these players have not done ever or this year. She still got it done at the end of the day. And I can't wait to see her again next year.
Super facts. On Serena, so I think, again, one of the standouts as well as her play was the outfit, that catsuit. insane scenes.
Oh, yeah, true, because it was also inspired by the athlete. Oh, I forgot her name, the runner.
Oh, yeah, I forgot her name as well.
Oh, I forgot her name, but...
Early 90s.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about anyways. Respect to her, indeed. Legend. Apologies, indeed. I don't remember her name, but yeah, it was really dope. Especially that her daughter also has the same outfit as
Yeah, cute. Later on, you're posting that. What match stood out for you during Serena's
run? The Halep one, 100%. One against Halep, because even Halep was shook. Like, Halep did not even... No, she was like, wait, hold on a minute, what the hell? What the hell is going on? And I was like, yep, we are here for blood for that 2019
winter. I still have
PTSD from. So, yeah, that was 100%. My favorite match. I think Serena went in there thinking, I have to go crazy. I think once she knows that she has to, you know, go crazy and, you know, really focus on her match, she gets into it.
Yeah.
Especially when she's a very competitive person, extremely competitive person. So when it's against someone who took something away from her, like that Wimbledon final, it's like, yeah, I'm there for blood.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, a lot of the people who beat her since she's been back, you know, at the, like the first couple matches, when that next match is fighting,
yeah,
crazy. And I think that, you know, motivates her. So yeah,
no, 100%. I think also as well the Sabalenka match. I think that was the fourth round.
Oh yeah, true. That was a three-setter. Good match as well. Yeah.
And, like, Sabalenka was, she said some nice things after, because I remember she was saying how basically she kind of, she was inspired by the Williams sisters in terms of, like, you know, the power play and stuff. So yeah, that was nice. Just on the men quickly, so some breakthroughs. So Felix, he reached the fourth round, and he was coming off the back of reaching the final. Do you remember those warm-up tournaments? So it was like Murray Wither, I think it was like, they had some weird names basically, but yeah, he reached the final before the Australian Open, losing to Dan Evans, which was a bit disappointing, but played some good tennis in Australia, obviously lost in five sets to Karatsev. And at the time, that was like, oh, wow, like, who's this Karatsev guy? Obviously, we all know who Aslan Karatsev is now. Felix did all right. Mikhail Immer, he had a breakthrough as well in Australia. So he reached the third round, and that was the first time he'd reached a Grand Slam third round semi-final. It was the first time he reached a third round at a Grand Slam. He got some pretty impressive wins. So he beat Hubert Hurkacz, who was the 26th seed in the first round. Carlos Alcaraz, who had a brilliant year in the second round, and then lost to Stefanos Tsitsipas in the third round. Mikhail Immer, and he went on to have a good year, which we'll talk about as well later on. And also Francis Tiafoe. So he reached the second round and had that fourth setter against Novak Djokovic, who was obviously the eventual champion. And that was like a 3.5 hour battle. Like, I remember watching that match thinking, like, if only Francis could play this level like every time, like, he'll be an absolute world beater. But I think that kind of stood him in good stead, like, for the rest of the year, because he had a pretty solid year.
Sure. 100%.
After that. So that was Australia. I want to talk about Miami, actually, as well. So Miami was a Masters 1000 for the men, WTA 1000 for the women. So pretty big tournament. And there we had Sloane Stephens securing her first win of the season. She made a pretty slow start to the year, but did get that win in Miami, which was nice. Osaka, she reached the quarterfinals, and that brought an end to her 21-match win streak, which began obviously back at the US Open the previous year.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where, like, I don't want to say, like, the slide happened, but, like, yeah, like the dip in form, I guess you could say, kind of that kind of started in Miami for Osaka. Felix, he reached the quarters. I think he lost to John Isner, I want to say, in the quarterfinals. I think it was like two tie break sets, so a pretty tight one. Tiafoe, he reached the last 16, beat Monfils en route, which I do remember was a nice match between those two. Again, Mikhail Immer, he made a run to the third round. Like I said, it kind of set the tone for Immer's year, because he had a pretty solid year. I'll say 2021, which is, we're still in it, but yeah. And then I want to shout out some WTA debutantes. So we had Alicia Parks, who we had on the pod as well.
Yeah.
Shouts out. And her dad, Michael. So yeah, she beat Grace Min in the main draw in Charleston. And that was a WTA 250, I want to say. And she, that was after coming through qualifying. And then we had her on the pod like shortly after that, which was a great look for us. And also Océane Babel. Am I saying her name correctly?
Océane Babel.
Thank you, Lucy, the French speaker. That's why you're here. Love that.
Oh, God.
So yeah, she made her WTA debut at the French Open, which we'll talk about later on. But yeah, she had fifth seed Elina Svitolina in the first round, which wasn't it's a pretty tough draw, but she gave a good account of herself. Lost 2 and 5. And also Hayley Baptiste and Cassie McNally, they won the doubles at that event in Charleston. I think it was an MUSC Health Open, I think it was called. And that was Baptiste's first WTA title. And obviously, Cathy McNally, she's won on the tour before with obviously her go-to partner, Coco Gauff. So yeah, that was a good look for some WTA debutantes there. The French Open now, or the Le Ghetto Open.
Le Ghetto Open, for sure.
Dubs it. Yeah, this is kind of where, like, I guess the season really kicked off in terms of like drama and like news and headlines. So before the tournament, Osaka, she announced that she would be skipping news conferences for mental health reasons. And then she ended up withdrawing from the tournament after her first round win, basically. Basically that sparked a massive debate, like not just in tennis, but like in sport, like in general.
Everywhere.
Which is just huge. And like, the thing is, I still don't think she gets enough credit for like how she handled that whole situation and like the results of it now in terms of like how, yeah, it's become a real like talking point in terms of like mental health around athlete or pro athletes.
My thing is, I'm still very angry about it.
Yeah.
Because quite few players, just recently, funny enough, Bianca released a statement stating that she's not coming to Australian Open because of, you know, some stuff she's been going through and she's not feeling okay. And she's not the only one. We had quite a few, let's say at least since Osaka did her thing, at least, let's say probably five tennis players, right, that released those type of stuff.
And men as well, not just women too.
Yeah, men and women. And look at the way she was treated and look at how everyone else was treated. So, like, even when I read the thing, I was like, yeah, that's long. I was like, rah, I hope she pulls it through. But in the back of my head, I was still thinking, bro, look how everyone is moving. And I realized I'm never going to let this go because it's like, why is it when... I mean, we know why at the end of the day. We know what it is. We're not going to pretend like we don't know what it is. Do you get what I mean? Why is it me as a black woman when I'm coming and telling you, yo, I'm not feeling okay? Not only I have the media getting onto me, I even have the Grand Slams making statements saying, yo, if you don't, like, threatening me. And the only reason why they then pulled back is because the power of social media.
They saw the reaction.
They saw everyone's reaction. Do you get what I mean? Maybe the only good thing that come out of it, maybe her doing that has now given the courage for other players to now speak up about their mental health. If that's the case, the reason why I'm still not thinking like that is because there was also some players chatting shit when she did it. Do you get what I mean? Like, some players were bagging her. Some people were backing her. Some were like trying to be mutual because they don't want to, you know. And some were literally saying like, well, yeah, we're here to play in it. It's
part of the job and all that, yeah.
It's part of the job. So that's why at the same time, I can't even say she started something that's helping other players because those other players as well were not even backing her fully like that. Yeah. So it really makes me very, very angry, because she didn't do it for just, you know, like, Osaka is a very good fucking player. She doesn't need to do all of this to win something. Do you get what I mean? She's not a clout chaser like a lot of these players. She has her game. She has her skills. She is talented. She is good. Even when you watch her documentary, you could see that she is focused, because she's like, listen, you guys grew up with privileges and money. My family didn't. So I'm going to out here hustle so we can actually work out. Something that these white people don't fucking understand. So it really... As you can see, I'm very angry, so angry about it. I'm so very angry about it. I don't think it's something that I'll easily let go of. But yeah, at the end of the day, all that matters is that she's okay. It seems like she's in a better place anyways. And if she is, if she's not, that's, you know, all that matters. It's lovely to see, you know, other players. Venus has even invested also in some mental health stuff.
Doing a lot.
At the end of, like, Osaka, like, as much as it kicked, all of this came out messy and crazy, there was also some good that came out of it, because now look, in less than a year, so many things have changed.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well said. 100%, Lucy. Because obviously we broke this down like in detail, like, you know, during the whole French Open and like when it was all kind of playing out. So yeah, and like you said, you're still kind of heated about it, and you have every right to be. Still, as am I, to be honest, because I don't think she was treated fairly, and I'd like to think now anyway, like going forward, there'll be more support for players, and there kind of is as a result of her, you know, standing out.
Yeah, because they saw.
So
they got flogged, fam.
Back to the French Open. So it was a bit of a breakthrough actually for Coco Gauff. So it was the first time she was seeded at a Grand Slam. So she was the 24th seed. And she would go on to reach the quarterfinals, losing to eventual champion Barbora Krejcikova. She also played doubles with Venus, which was incredible. Just those pictures, I remember, like, just great.
That is
great scenes.
So basically amazing, man. Like, so, like, just thinking about it now, again, it's crazy. Like, you know, this is a woman who only played with her sister.
He's
now played with someone else, and there's another black person on top of that as well. Someone that looks up to her, someone that literally, like, you know, plays the same playing style as well.
Yeah.
It's just really, really, really nice. Like, I was very happy about that.
Massively, like, symbolic, like, and I think as well, like, it was just really nice to kind of see Venus take on the role of, like, I don't know, almost like mentoring, you could almost say, like, you know.
And I've always said that I feel like she could do it, because you know, a lot of people, they're like, Serena coach. I don't see Serena coach, but Venus,
what you mean,
mentoring. Like, I see Serena doing more things behind the scenes, but I generally, like, growing up
with Serena Ventures,
I see her more like behind the scenes, but I see Venus in court coaching like another player or something like that.
I definitely hear you.
I really see that with Venus. So, and I really hope she does. Like, and I think she's definitely someone who's going to be in it. You can see, like, both the sisters love the game. I think Serena is just that someone who's just so busy with so many 1,000 things. And, you know, when she even watches a sister play, she's always, you know, like, I think she even shared that before. She said that, I don't think I can even be a coach, because I'll just be like, what the fuck? And I can see it. Whereas I think Venus can really has that personality and, you know, that vibe of that coaching type of stuff. Do you get what I mean?
100%.
I hope she does it, man. If she does it, that would be so sick.
Well, we'll see. I mean, she's still on the tour. Still going at 41.
She's still on the tour. So that's the thing. Exactly.
It won't be anytime soon, but indeed. On Serena, staying with Serena, actually. So she reached the fourth round, lost to Elina Rybakina. And I think Rybakina played, like, pretty much the match of her life, like, during that win.
Like always.
I did like Serena's outfit as well, that green. I love that green she was wearing.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
I did post it to our story.
Which was, if I
don't know what...
Did Virgil...
No, it wasn't Virgil.
That did, one. No, did the other one. He did the one last year.
Year, exactly.
Yeah, he did the one last year. RIP to...
Indeed, which we'll come on to later on. Very sad, unfortunate news there. Sloane Stephens, she lost in the fourth round again to Krejcikova. But yeah, Sloane played some great tennis in
Roland Garros. I remember, French Open, I was really happy.
there was that win she got against the girl from the Czech Republic. I forgot her name now. But that was really impressive.
Pliskova?
No. Oh, I forgot her name. That's annoying.
Speaking of Pliskova, she's pregnant. Congratulations.
I did see that earlier today as well, yeah.
I noticed the black spin globe. Shout out to you and your baby. So hope you have a healthy delivery and healthy pregnancy.
Facts. Well said. And then, yeah, qualifier Baptiste. She reached the second round, so came through qualifying, won her first round match, and then lost to Sophia Kennan in the second round. So yeah, shouts out to Baptiste. More on that later on as well. Mikkel Immer, he played Gael Monfils in the second round.
This year, yeah, sorry to cut you off, this year, listen, ATP and WTA, you lot took the fucking piss. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually like now that I'm actually we're going through
this
stuff.
I'm just turning down your mic.
I'm deeping it all over again. Do you know how many times they put black players against each other? Like, what the hell was this? Like, they say, niggas, get off the plane. Like, get out of here. You guys can't be here. Like, you need to go. It needs to stop. 2022, yeah. If this keeps on happening, you guys are going to get hate emails from me. Like, it's getting ridiculous. Stop putting the black players together at first. Like, what the hell?
It's mad.
Why am I having you meet and Monfils together?
I'm so early. It's really frustrating to see it so early on. Like,
how many times did it do this year? This year was the worst.
Yeah.
This year, I remember, really showed that we do not matter. Like, they were like, no, you guys go.
You had
like,
a year in 2020. Black lives mattered in 2020, not 2021.
That's it, yeah, not 2021. They're like, all right, that was the black square and stuff. That was last year. This year, you're out of it. It needs to stop. It needs to stop. I'm so sorry for cutting you off, but I'm just deep all over again. I'm just like, no.
Again, I remember you like saying this exactly like during the time.
And it's so funny because Eugene, before, he thought I was just cracking it up when I sent him. I was like, Eugene, open your eyes. They want us out of it. And then he finally deeped
it
too.
Round.
Whole of tennis Twitter afterwards, due to I was saying from the beginning, I was like, guys, they're kicking the niggas out first. Are you guys not seeing this?
Wild scenes. Lastly, on the French Open, so shouts out to the juniors. So we had Arthur Fils and Giovanni Mepeshi Pellicard. They won the boys' doubles title. And yeah, Fils, he actually reached the boys' singles final, but yeah, finished runner up. So yeah, great to have some Grand Slam junior champions at the French Open. Moving on to grass court, the grass court season now. Very exciting for various reasons, a couple of reasons, in fact. But yeah, Felix, he had a pretty solid grass court campaign. So he reached his eighth ATP Tour final in Stuttgart, where he lost to Marin Cilic in that final. And he also beat the legend Roger Federer in Halle.
Yeah, Roger was so upset.
Yeah, because that's like his back garden, pretty much. Even though it's in Germany, but that's his tournament. So yeah, that was
that
nice
match. Roger was looking rough, I remember.
It wasn't yeah, he didn't play his best tennis, but still, like, take nothing away from Felix, please.
No, Felix, yeah. Because I think there was one moment, I think, if I remember correctly, Roger was actually going to win the first set or
exactly
the second set.
Yeah, it was tight.
And then like, it was literally like, let's say it was like a 5-1 or something, 5-2, something like that. And then Felix just went and then won that set. So yeah, he definitely did well.
So that was nice. And like I said, that kind of set the tone for Felix on the grass.
Mm-hmm.
TFO, friend of the pod, shouts out. He won the Nottingham Challenger. And that was his first ever grass court title as well, which was pretty, like, I was quite shocked to hear that, because he's got like an all court game, like, so
yeah, that's true. That's
yeah
true.
So it was nice to see him win that challenger title, and that kind of, again, that set him in good stead as well, because he made some strides. I think it was Queens where he got to the quarterfinals the following week, and obviously Queens, that was the ATP 500 event, so yeah, that was a good look. And then before Wimbledon, me and you, we touched Eastbourne.
We did.
Thanks to the LTA.
LTA, hey, you know, grass season 2022. Don't forget about us. Black Spin Globe can be out there, you know, Queens, everywhere you want to go, Birmingham tournament, anywhere. We are ready.
There. But no, that was a nice like, we actually recorded the pod there as well, which is
we did record there. You know, people were looking at us like, damn, because like, and it's like, yeah, we like
tennis. With our lanyards, yeah. Mine's still here.
With our lanyards, yeah. I remember them looks like, oh, you guys lost. I was like, no, we are not. We are right here, just like you, watching tennis.
So you know, that was a
good. Yeah, it was really good. Really enjoyed it. Shout out to the LTA. Yeah, that was dope.
It was a nice feeling being there. And then, yeah, moving on to Wimbledon now. So, obviously, the champions, it was Novak Djokovic that won in the men's side. Ash Barty on the women's side.
Shout out to her as well. She got engaged recently. Jeez, look at the WTA ladies winning.
Mad, yeah, yeah. A lot of off-court action.
You know, look at the trend Serena starting. I'm just...
Serena's always responsible, like trendsetter. But, yeah, Wimbledon. So... we're going to mix and match here. So TFO took out Stefanos Tsitsipas, the fourth seed. And that was in round one.
That was a very good match. Very, very good match.
Fantastic. Like, yeah, just in straight sets as well. So like, that was a really impressive performance from Francis. And yeah, he would go on to reach the third round. I think he lost to Karen Khachanov in the third round.
Yeah.
Beat Pospisil in the second round. And again,
that was a very good match as well, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played really well that match.
Venus, so she was playing in her 90th career Grand Slam main draw, the most in the open era. She reached the second round. Just good to see Venus playing, like, which we said again during the time. And she played doubles with Nick Kyrgios. No comment.
Oh, yes, that was...
We're not getting into that. We ain't got time, Lucy. Sorry.
All right, cool.
Ain't got time for that. Serena, yeah, she took a nasty fall, and that's pretty much where her season ended in that first round match against Alexandra Sasnovich.
I think I nearly cried that day.
Yeah, that was a really tough. Yeah, it was tough. What it was
I think I nearly cried.
A very tough day. Watch. Yeah. Looks so like, again, the outfit just looks serene.
Know,
like,
didn't even, oh,
I know, God. I know. But
no,
listen,
that grass. Yeah, remember people were that grass Wimbledon. If you guys dare do this next year, like, oh my, you guys are also gonna get hate.
I don't know. That's like. Because, I don't want to spend too
remember,
much time
everyone
on it.
Was I know, slipping. I know. Everyone was slipping. Everyone was slipping.
But it was that first week. And the grass during the first week is always very slippery. Just because it's so green. Like, so
Let's be honest. When was the last time we've had
Wimbledon? And this is what I'm saying. Again, and that's a good point. Because we didn't have Wimbledon in 2020. It was cancelled. So
the one before that, we barely saw people slipping.
But do you know
the
what I'm going to say, Lucy, as well? Like, I think, and you said it earlier, like, social media, like, amplifies things. So I just think the grass has always been an issue, like I said, first week, because it's so green. But I think now, because there are so many like voices talking about obviously tennis isn't the most popular sport, but in our like Twitter, tennis Twitter, like that is all people are talking about. Oh, the grass at Wimbledon, like the groundsman needs.
But even the players were saying.
I think the players have always said that though. That's my argument. Like, and maybe I'm wrong, fair but enough. That's just how I feel. Like, yeah.
I don't know. I personally felt like it was like, yeah, we've had it before, but I feel like this year was 100 times worse, especially that first week. It was very rainy as well. I understand most of it actually was 100% out of their control.
Yeah.
It's a shitty British weather. We had, this is probably one of the worst summers we've
standard.
Had. Standard.
We haven't had a summer.
Like, we literally didn't have a summer. And now we're here, cold, freezing again. My heat is on 24/7. Thank God bills is included in my rent. So, like, honestly, it was, so I understand at the same time, it wasn't really their fault because they can't really control the weather. But, you know, there were some people that were saying, for example, like, you think in this day and age, like, we'll have some sort of technology to control this type of thing. Hopefully, maybe they looked into it.
Undersoil heating
or money,
something.
You know, them tickets are not cheap. Them PIMs are not cheap. Them food at Wimbledon are not cheap. So, come on.
It's obviously a debate that's going to keep going. Mikael Yema, again, so he took out Joe Rufford-Songa in the first round. Again, another black on black assault there in the first round.
Stay woke, my brother.
That was a 5-set epic. And yeah, he would go out to Felix Auger-Aliassime in round two. after four quality sets. So that was a really, really good match. And just, I was just so proud watching that. Like, obviously, I have no relation to any of them, either of them, but just seeing, like, yeah, just two black young players, like, playing in the second round at Wimbledon. It was just a great look. Sloane, she reached the third round. Madison Keys reached the fourth round. So some decent runs there. Felix, he would go on to reach the quarterfinals. And that would be his first quarterfinal appearance at a Grand Slam. Took out fourth seed Alexander Zverev in round four. And we were actually we were on the grounds during that match.
Watching
but
the
not
match.
Exactly.
You were struggling with the weak-ass internet there, trying to watch it at the same time.
Which we'll come on to a bit later on, but yeah. And also Coco Gauff, so she reached the last 16. We actually had the pleasure of watching Coco Gauff, even though it was a defeat, but just seeing her like in the flesh, incredible. Yeah.
It was really good.
She lost to the former champ Angelique Kerber in straight sets. We were actually there on centre court for
Manic,
that.
The last ever Manic Monday.
Wild, yeah. So
crazy.
Yeah.
This history, you
I
know.
I want to say shouts out to you.
I'm saying that
well,
to my kids, going to be like, yo, me and Uncle Yuji, we went to the last Manic Monday. Tell that to your friends.
Shouts out to you, definitely, like because you came through with those tickets. So.
Oh my gosh, now those tickets, do you know how funny that was? We really bought that shit last minute.
Mad.
I messaged my manager at the last minute.
Same, I had to like swap shifts. It was wild.
It was crazy, but it was definitely worth it. Like, oh, 100%. It was really good, you know, we're in the center court tickets, you know.
Saw Federer and Novak
really
as well. Like
Federer, like, Novak. Like, who does that? What's so cool? Who does that? But you know, hopefully next year LTA will, you know, pull up, you know, Wimbledon.
Listen, media passes pending.
Come on.
Speaking
come on,
into
you know.
Existence. But yeah, just on Coco quickly before we leave Wimbledon. So there was a really nice line from friend of the pod again, Tamani Karyol. In his piece at The Guardian, but he just, oh no, was it a piece or was it a tweet? I think it was
it was a piece. He
it
wrote,
was
he
it was
wrote
an article,
something. Yeah.
Because the
yeah,
quote, yeah. I'm not sure if the quote was from a tweet or from the actual article.
We're giving him credits anyway.
But exactly. So yeah, basically, she leaves Wimbledon now, having reached the second week of two consecutive Grand Slams without dropping a set on her way at either. So obviously, she reached the last 16 at the French Open, you know, the tournament prior, or Grand Slam prior anyway, without dropping a set. Like, and obviously these times, what, she's still 17. She's it's just like insane. But again, more on Coco later on. The Olympics now in Tokyo. Again, Tamani was there, which was incredible for him.
Yes, so cool.
Just, yeah, mad scenes. And we had, obviously, Osaka, who was the first time Olympian. She became the first player, or first tennis player even, to light the cauldron in Olympic history. Obviously being a Japanese national, she represents Japan. Mm. Obviously half Haitian too, she's very proud of that. But yeah, she would go on to reach the third round. The Olympics, we spoke about it again, like around the time, like, very underwhelming event, I thought, just because a lot of players are missing as well.
I remember saying that shit should have gotten cancelled. I was saying it before.
No fans, like, a lot, yeah. But just quickly on that as well. So TFO, he was also a first-time Olympian. He reached the second round. He lost to Tsitsipas in round two, but did get a win. I think it was Son Kyeon, the Korean, he beat in the first round. It wasn't a wasted kind of trip, and, you know, being at the Olympics, it's special, like, as an athlete. Shouts out to all the Olympians, basically.
The next one is in Paris.
Yeah,
actually.
Which is going to be fun. Very fun.
Local.
And hopefully COVID is like
Olympic
long.
Paris, hit us up.
Indeed. And then the next event was the US, well, I say the next, the final Grand Slam of the year was the US Open, which was just, again, that this seems like it was yesterday, to be fair. So obviously Daniil Medvedev winning his first Grand Slam. And Emma Raducanu, the Brit qualifier becoming
nothing. Oh, speaking of Brits, sorry, quickly, you saw that Joe Conta's out, yeah?
Again, we'll come into that later on, but just, all right, all right. Just Tory Conta, just.
I love this.
Just on Raducanu, the first ever qualifier to win a Grand Slam, like, just madness. And she's 18, I think she's just turned 19. So again, shouts out to Raducanu, but Black's been global, Black players. I love the US Open this year, like, because yeah, the matchups. It's like, probably I've probably said it before, but it is my favorite Grand Slam. I like Wimbledon, don't get it twisted, but like US Open for me has always been a special
one. Energy is different.
Exactly, 100%.
It's easy for us to watch it. The matches are on from
it's
after
my
work.
Kind of time, exactly. Late nights, midnight.
It's
facts.
Late night. You know, it's starting from like 4 or 5 p.m. Watch it. But this year, 100%, it was. Like, I remember watching, now I'm thinking about it again, it's crazy. I can't remember what round it was, but I remember one day I literally watched tennis from 5 to like 4 a.m. It was, and every match banged. Yeah, it was not even like, all right, one match here, every single match banged. And that was basically nearly throughout the US Open. Yeah. I remember a lot of people were saying the same thing. So US Open, you know, you guys can be a little bit ghetto as well, but you definitely carried it.
They brought it, man, 100%.
A lot of great matches.
TFO, so he took out Andre Rublev in that 5-set epic. And I remember because that was happening at like our time, like 3-4 in the morning. I fell asleep. I held my hands up. I was like, I fell asleep. I was in and out of sleep, basically.
I think the same with me as well.
But I did wake up like near the end, and I was like, oh my God, he's about to like serve the match. And then stayed up and saw him serve it out. And I was like, you go, Francis. And then he faced off against Ozhe Aliassim in round 4. What a moment that was. Like, again, high quality match. He did start off quite nervous, actually, I thought, Ozhe Aliassim, because he was a seeded player, don't forget. And Felix Francis just came out, you know, swinging, nothing to lose. Obviously they're both great friends as well. But no, that was a really, really good look for TFO reaching the fourth round. And then Felix, he would go on to reach the semi-final. So that was his first Grand Slam semi-final of his career. And yeah, before meeting TFO, he beat Roberto Bautista Agut. I think that was in the third round, I think. And then Carlos Alcaraz in the quarterfinals. And then obviously lost to Medvedev, the eventual champion, in the semis. On the women's side... The draw was a bit of a madness. So we had Keys and Stevens reaching in the first they drew each other in the first round. Stevens came through, and then she had Goff in the second round. Again, Stevens came through in that one. And then I think Stevens would lose to Kerber. Was that in round 4, I want to say? So we reached the second week. So Stevens, like, really, her season did really pick up, like, towards the end of the year, which is good to see. What were you going to say?
No, because I was just going to mention my tweet about me and Stevens.
I was going to say, Jay-Z, shouts out to the legend, the GOAT, Jay-Z,
shout
as well, happy birthday. But yeah, I mean, now we're here.
I don't know if you guys are aware that, you know, Stevens has her blog where she basically, you know, put it out there so people can get
which I wasn't until you brought it to my attention, so thank you, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I subscribed to it the moment she launched it and stuff. I think it's nice when players do these type of stuff to get to know them better and everything. And I think one of the posts that I really liked, this is actually the second time we interacted because of her blog. The first time was because one of her posts was about how she does with like her hair touring, which is very interesting. You know, she's a Black
As
woman,
a black
you know,
woman,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was a very good post and stuff. I think she retweeted like my comment or something like that. But in this one was probably a discussion because she put a top 10 list of, you know, her favorite Jay-Z songs because he was his birthday last Saturday. And guys, if you know me, you know Hov is my GOAT. He's my everything, the legend.
The
Rock. Quote tweeted. I think I quote tweeted saying something like, I really like the top 10. And then because I replied back to my own tweet and I just said, there's two songs from Reasonable Doubt, which is basically my favorite Jay-Z album.
I've got it here. So Yeah, basically you said, oh yeah, the top 10 list, as in you quoted, tweeted her tweet, two songs from Reasonable Doubt. I know that's right, you said.
I know that, yeah.
And then Stephen's reply, listen, not putting feeding it, Devil's 20, Devil's 22 twos, and Can I Live on the list took restraint. So listen, it's like,
I replied back to it, I was like, I understand, I get you, I know, because I feel it as well.
So some bonding over Jay-Z there.
Nice little bonding.
Between
nice
Stevens bonding and Lucy, time. Love that.
Yeah. Look how Hole brings people together, see? And it's nice to see, you know, talking about a black rapper to a black tennis player.
And to be fair to Jay, like he's
co-hosting a black podcast.
Jay is a tennis fan. Jay's been to Wimbledon. I've seen him
at the US Open as well. So yeah, US Open, Wimbledon. He's been there.
So yeah, Jay, if you're listening, shouts out, man. The Rock. Rock Nation. back to the US Open. Coco Gauff and Cassie McNally, they reached the women's doubles final. So that was their first
Grand Slam
doubles final for them. They did lose in that final, but en route, they didn't drop a set, which was just mad.
And they lost against, like, champions.
Yeah, I want to say the second seeds. Like, they were... Even they could have been the top seed, you know. But yeah, much more experience.
Yeah, I think they're top seed, and they've also won a couple of slams.
100%, yeah. So former Grand Slam winners. So no shame in that at all.
And but just Coco was very upset.
I know they were both really annoyed, because they could have won. Like, but yeah, take nothing away from them, like I said. And then in the girls, we had some success. So Robin Montgomery, she won the singles event and the doubles with her partner, Ashleen Kruger. And again, we spoke about that during the time, well, at the time. Montgomery, I want to say she's 17 now. She's been someone that, you know, tennis kind of, or US tennis fans anyway, would be aware of. She's also played on the main draw as well. So we look forward to seeing more of Montgomery in the future. As we come to the end, Lucy, there's still a bit more to kind of get through. But yeah, I just want to do some like quick shout outs in terms of like season breakthroughs. So Felix, who we spoke about earlier, I want to say this was a breakthrough season for Felix. So he cracked the top 10, even though it was for like 3 days, because Jannik Sinner overtook him. But yeah, reached the top 10 for the first time in his career. And also made some progress at the Grand Slam. So he reached his first quarterfinal, that was at Wimbledon, and then the semi-final at the US Open. So I'd say a pretty solid year for Felix. Obviously he made two ATP Tour finals as well, still yet to win a title, but it's coming. Like, yeah, and I don't want to say when, but it's coming. And I would not be surprised if it's a big one, like if that first one is a big one, because he's got the ability. Had some big wins this year as well against Berrettini, Zverev. I don't think he beat Tsitsipas, although he had some tight matches against him. Obviously Federer too, like he had a solid year. On the women's side, I want to shout out Jasmine Paolini as well. So she picked up her first WTA Tour title in Portoloz, and she also reached a new career high, 51. She got a top 20 win at Indian Wells as well. We didn't even talk about Indian Wells, but yeah, again, a solid season for the Italian Ghanaian.
Yeah, she did well. it makes me laugh when you say
I don't know why it does, Lucy, because these are facts. Like,
I think it's the way you drop it. That's why.
I'm just speaking facts.
It's where you drop it, like Italian Ghanaian. Just like your Dr. Uma hat. It's our blood that's making this.
I'm just speaking the truth. And I do like it when she likes posts, like, because she does like a post here and there on Instagram, and I do love
shout
that.
Shout out to her.
So, yeah, shout out to Paolini, man. And Gauff as well. So Gauff, we didn't even speak about her title success in Parma. So she won the singles and doubles in Parma. And that was before the French Open. So that was, that kind of set her up for the clay, and obviously she went on to do quite well at Roland Garros. And she also reached a career high in the world rankings of 19. So, like, at 17 years old, being 19 in the world, I think she ended the year like 21, 22. So again, fantastic season for Gauff, and just looking forward to seeing her in 2022. And then finally, TFO, I thought again, just a great year for him. Had a career week in Vienna, which we spoke about at the time, that was on the previous pod, actually. And that was his first ATP 500 final, where he lost to Alex Zverev.
He had a very good run in Vienna. It was very fun watching him. I think that was that fun Murray match as well.
Yeah, exactly. Belgium.
That match was Antwerp, which was like the longest three sets.
Exactly.
Match of the year,
And they shared a moment.
Very good time. I feel like TFO had an amazing season, and I really hope that same energy and the same mentality that he has this year just carries it over to next year, 100%. So he can, you know, win them titles.
I think
stuff.
As well, just quickly on TFO. So he ended the year at the Davis Cup. So he was like a last minute call up for USA. And yeah, he won his first ever Davis Cup match.
I remember. So yeah.
In Madrid, which was great to see, and like I said, a nice way to end the year. And just on the Davis Cup, so Sweden, they made it to the quarterfinals, and that was the first time they'd reached that stage in 10 years. And obviously, who were their number one and two players? So Mikkel and Elias Immer, the Immer brothers. And Elias was the one that really kind of carried them through. Like, he won, I want to say, two out of the three matches he played. He won two of them. And Mikkel also won a match as well. So again, they had pretty solid years as well. Mikkel Immer, he reached his first ATP final in Winston-Salem, in the US. And that was, again, he lost in the final to Vashka, in straight sets, which was a bit disappointing. But again, you know, that's a kind of a breakthrough for him in terms of him reaching an ATP tour final. So yeah, those are the kind of players I wanted to kind of shout out and just acknowledge as having breakthroughs. And then yeah, last bits now, you see. So King Richard, what a film!
I need to watch it again.
The thing is, as well, like, I could actually talk about this film like in one episode, like as in give it a whole episode, like easily.
I think we should have done a whole episode talking about King Richard.
The thing is, I wanted to, but like just time, like. So, but yeah, just quickly, what were your thoughts like? Because obviously, I've got my thoughts, but yeah.
Honestly, I generally don't even know where to start. Mm. The movie is just fantastic. Do you know what? I think it's maybe because my hopes were not too high, mainly because I love normally, like, you know, autobiography movies or films or whatever.
Yeah. Biopics,
sorry.
Yeah.
Biopics and stuff, or like, yeah, them type of stuff. I normally like them, but it's always a hit or miss. And already when you're telling me Will Smith, I'm like, why is Will Smith doing Mr. like Richard? Like, I don't understand. Like, what is this? All right, cool. And I don't know, like, there was a lot of things, but then as we're getting closer to the movie and then finding out that actually the Williams sisters were very much into it and stuff, you're like, okay, the critics were really good. I was like, all right. And then when I watch it, I was like, this is amazing. First of all, just the way the storyline just went, I loved Will Smith did an amazing job. Like, it actually blows my mind how great he did it. And I remember, I think I saw Serena even, I think she even mentioned it in an interview, saying that like she was even like so impressed, and like, there was sometimes she was like, wait, is this even my dad or something like that? And I do you know what, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I thought, all right, maybe she's just saying this to gas him up because he needs to get that Oscar. But when I watched it, I was like, no, this guy is actually playing well. But it was just so amazing, you know, for the culture, for people to understand the story. I think the number one thing that I love the most about that movie is how much like the light was on Venus, because I feel like a lot of people who don't know about tennis watch the movie and realize that actually Venus is really, you know.
And that's where we need to give Sanaya Sidney as well. That's the girl who played Venus. Incredible.
Oh, the girls, they did an incredible. Like, I feel like the casting was amazing.
Yeah.
Even the other siblings, like, they all looked, it was just incredible. Like, everything was just super detailed out, super well done. But yeah, it was just nice. You know, I even saw some tweets, people were saying, yo, I'm putting my daughters in tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm just like, yeah, you know, because obviously, you know, seeing all of them stuff and everything. But it's just so, I think one other thing as well is that a lot of the stuff that they were dealing with back in the days were still having that issue in society, in tennis, in everything. Do you get what I mean? It's like, you know, the lack of resources, the lack of funds that people have in tennis, which is what we always discuss, as we, which is things that, you know, we have dealt with. I wanted to play tennis when I was young, but my mom was like, I ain't got that. You know, my dad was like, yo, that money's not coming out like that. Do you get what I mean? And it's nice to see that, you know, it's not like they had, goes back to what I was saying, the whole Osaka thing. It's not like they had that privilege. They had to do things differently to get to where they are. So shout out to King Richard for sure. Shout out to the whole cast of, you know, that movie. I can go on and on and on. It was just so beautiful. At the end, I wanted to cry. That Be Alive song by Beyonce. Also a beehive, but that song is fucking amazing and it went so well. And shout out to Venus. Shout out to Serena. Shout out to, like, it was just nice. Like, that's that nice black excellence is what I live for.
100%. Well said. And like, yeah, I can't really, like, I don't know, even better what you've just said there, Lucy. The only thing I will say, yeah, just the actors were on point. So obviously Will Smith,
so good,
playing Richard, and Anjanou Ellis. I think she was obviously in that. I think that's her name, Anjanou.
Yes. Oh, that was another fantastic, good thing as well.
Like, really, really. I thought that, like, just as parents, like, they, for me anyway, like, you could just feel the energy, like, you're able to connect with them. Facts. Like, as parents. And then obviously, yes, and I, Sydney, and Demi Singleton playing Serena. Like you said, like, just the mannerisms were on point. Like, I was watching a video, actually. I think it was a Vogue interview they did. And yeah, Sanae was saying how basically, like, she had to really focus on Venus's, like, techniques. So she was like, oh, if you watch Venus play tennis, like, she snaps her wrist. And she was like, that's how she practiced. Like, before hitting a ground stroke, she would snap the wrist. And then hit the go for the swing. And when you watch it, you can actually see it. And that's something that really stood out to me as well. Like, because these girls, they didn't play tennis. Like, they literally had to learn, like, kind of on the job.
They had to learn,
Which is just incredible because, like, you couldn't really tell that they hadn't really played tennis before. Like,
because she was actually playing very well. This is what I'm saying. She was playing those matches.
Yeah, the acting was just incredible. And I do hope, they do, you know, or they are up for awards because it's well deserved.
Everyone.
I want to also shout out Aisha Prince, so William's sister, well, the sisters, or the sister, because she was like a director.
I think she was executive producer.
That's the executive producer. So she had a big hand in, like, just basically the whole thing, and I think that was really important.
That was very important.
You can tell as well. Like, it was a very true told story. So man, shouts out to everyone involved. And I even had friends as well that aren't exactly tennis fans. They're like, wow, like, that was a powerful watch.
My girl that I watched the movie with, she cried at the end.
Oh wow.
It was so funny. Because I was trying to tell her, like, something, and I just told her, I was like, you know, and then this, you know, I just saw tears. But literally, that shows you, I probably would have done the same because I already knew so much of, like, the stories and stuff. It was that my heart was definitely full. I did feel emotions, but seeing my friend who does not, funny, what's actually funny about her is that her dad named her sister Venus.
Oh,
Venus,
wow,
Williams,
that's
actually
hard. Love that.
Yeah, so that's the thing as well. So although, like, obviously, she grew up with tennis, scene around, like, obviously it's not the same as us and stuff, but it was really nice seeing her being emotional about it. And it's just like, this is what I'm talking about. When I tell you these two women can make me cry, just like that. See how you're crying? That's
facts,
the same.
But
it was very good. And back on the thing you were talking about, like, you know, you can connect to them, like, with parents wise. That was one thing that I definitely took away. Like, it's crazy how powerful words can be and how you can be with your children. Because if they were just like, yeah, maybe, or they were not saying things like, you can do it, you're going to.
Exactly.
They will not be where they are. And it's crazy because you can see in Venus today, like, look at her Instagram post. Like, they're absolutely so motivational. They're so
positive.
Like,
positive
vibe. And it's like, as I was watching the movie, I was like, this is where she got it from.
Yeah.
This is where it all started. It actually started from when she was a kid. It wasn't a thing where it started when she started playing, like, you know, big matches and stuff. This started from home.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing. That was a very inspirational thing as well. And I loved how they showed a lot of, like, Orosin impact in as the well girls' as, game. Exactly. It was not just Richard. Yeah. It was not just Richard. Like, it was just amazing, man. Everything that I had doubts about, literally when I watched the movie, it was like, okay, yeah, this is perfect. Like, I literally had zero issue with it. My only issue with it is I have to watch it again. That's it. I have to watch it again. No, great. I actually want to watch that movie again.
Great job to everyone involved, man, definitely. But yeah, as we kind of come to the end, we touched on it earlier, Virgil Abloh, really, really sad. Like,
very sad.
I think he was 41 years old.
Crazy.
Cancer, like, didn't tell anyone.
Crazy.
And just, yeah, just a really, just a sad, sad loss. And we did post about it as well, like, because he did touch the tennis community, like, obviously with the, you know, designs for Serena, for the US Open and the French Open.
I'm gonna miss her.
Yeah, and also he did design Elina Svitolina's wedding dress as well.
Wedding dress, yeah.
And that was earlier this year, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, just a really terrible loss, and you know, thoughts and prayers terrible, yeah. with you know, the whole Abloh family.
I'm listen to pay my respect. I'm still gonna say two Virgils. That was a moment for history. Yeah. Like, there's two Virgils, you know. But shout out to him, man. Like, the things that he, like, I really wish we had a little bit more of the fits that he did. Maybe he could have done for Naomi one day. Mm. If you get what I mean, that would have been nice, because all the stuff they did for Serena, it shook the table, and that's what we want, and that's what we like in tennis, especially when it's a black person doing it.
100%.
Open doors, he's done some stuff, and you know, praise to him, and it's praise to his family, you know. And yeah, man, his impact is definitely big, whether indeed. We clowned him or not, when we're making fun of him before, but you know, it is what it is. We all know deep down his impact in it, like, that's the thing. Some people may not have not liked his design, but no one could ever say that he didn't have an impact. Yeah, on fashion.
And that's the beautiful
especially
thing
as a black person
about it as well. Like, the fact, obviously, death isn't a nice thing, but like, his legacy lives on. Like, that's, there's no 100%. Doubt about that, through the fashion and just, yeah, he just touched so many lives. So yeah, like I said, sad loss, and prayers and best wishes to the Abloh family. But yeah, Lucy, before we wrap up, I want to shout out, like, the guests we've had on this year. So we've had the tennis commentator and broadcaster. Well, she's a sports broadcaster, really. Amaury Batson. She came on. I think she did the Australian Open review pod with us at the start of the year, and that was nice having Amaury on. And we also had the Tennis Channel's Jordan Sanford join us in March. Do you remember, all the way from LA, which I was hating on?
Shout out. That was actually a very fun episode.
It was.
Very fun.
It
very
really
funny.
Was. And obviously, we had a friend of the pod now, Guardian journalist Tamani Carriol. He joined us on multiple episodes. You know, he's just part of the furniture now, I guess. So, yeah, shouts out to all our, like, guest co-hosts. And also, I want to shout out Dustin Brown as well for that shout out he gave us. Thanks to Rodney Rapson.
Lucy.
I forgot to pronounce Lucy. Your name like that. I'm sorry, Lucy.
That is how it. Hello, Lucy. I was like, yes, that is how you say my name now.
So, yeah, Lucy, man, that wraps up 2021, man. Like, what a year. Our first full season podding as well. Mad. Yeah, round of applause indeed, man.
Round of applause to us. We were out here giving you content. We were out here doing everything.
We tried, man. We tried.
We did it. We are represented.
It's mad. And, like, the thing is, like, as well, like, obviously, like I said, it's pretty much been a month since we last released an episode. But yeah, we're not actually done for the year, so just stay tuned.
But we ain't done. Stay tuned, my people. Let me tell you. Come closer, guys. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. but no, like, honestly, thank you all, man, for listening and, like, yeah, tapping
in, liking,
exactly, subscribing.
We got exciting things coming, definitely.
And yeah, like, reviews, I don't say it enough, but, like, yeah, the reviews and, like, all of the, like, the kind of interaction we get, like, it means a lot. So yeah, just a big thank you, man. And yeah, I just hope you continue to stick with us, and yeah, just know that we're going to keep coming in 2022. But yeah, like I said, we're not done for this year, but I can't reveal any more. Just stay tuned. So
that's what we're saying.
Yes, thank you all so much for tuning in, and until next time, take care.